The Exposure Model. Jeffrey's dramatic recovery illustrates the cognitive model. When you change the way you think, you can change the way you feel. The exposure model works differently. When you're anxious, you're always avoiding something that you fear. When you confront the monster you fear the most, you'll defeat your fears. Of course, you could argue that Jeffrey's sudden recovery resulted from exposure. When he finally opened up and told his colleagues about the case he'd lost, he confronted the monster that he'd always feared and discovered that it had no teeth. There are many different ways to confront your fears. When I was growing up, I had a fear of blood. It wasn't much of a problem until I entered medical school. When it was time to practice drawing blood from people's arms during my second year, it dawned on me that I didn't want anything to do with it. So I dropped out of medical school for a year. During my year off, I thought about my options and decided that I really did want to be a doctor. But I realized that sooner or later, I'd have to bite the bullet and overcome my fear of blood. Before I started my internship, I decided to work as a volunteer in the emergency room of Highland Hospital in Oakland, California, for a month. This was a major trauma center, with approximately 8,000 emergency room visits per month. When I walked into the ER for the first time, I was so anxious that I felt I was floating across the ceiling. I had no idea what to expect. But it wasn't too bad. There were two alcoholics in delirium tremens and several people with infections or fractures, but nothing bloody or traumatic. But soon I heard sirens approaching in the distance and felt a sudden sense of dread. As the sirens grew louder, my anxiety escalated and I began to feel dizzy. Suddenly, I heard several policemen and ambulance personnel shouting frantically as they ran down the hall of the ER, pushing a bloody body on a gurney as fast as they could. They headed into the major trauma room, and a dozen doctors and nurses rushed in and started working on the patient in a desperate attempt to save his life. I was watching from the hall and asked one of the nurses what was going on. She explained that the man was a bomber who'd been planning to blow up City Hall, but his bomb had blown up in his hands while he was building it. He was barely alive. His face, chest, and arms had been badly burned, and most of the skin above his waist seemed to be missing. I could hardly stand to look at him. Then she tugged on my sleeve and said, "You've got to help." I explained that I was just a medical student without any experience with this sort of thing and didn't know what to do. She handed me a toothbrush and said, "Get busy with this." I said, "This guy is on the verge of death, and you want me to brush his teeth?" She said, "No. Can't you see all those black specks in his tissue? That's gunpowder. You've got to scrub it out, or it will poison him." It was a gruesome task, because his entire chest was just a slab of raw, bloody flesh. I forced myself to scrub away with the toothbrush, with my hands and all that bloody tissue. These were the days when we didn't routinely wear gloves either, so I was terrified. But I couldn't stop because his life was on the line, so I had to stick with it. I was glad that he was unconscious and couldn't feel anything. After about 10 minutes of sheer panic and dizziness, a strange thing happened. My anxiety started to diminish and suddenly vanished. In a flash, I was cured of my blood phobia. I had stumbled across a technique known as flooding. Instead of avoiding the thing you fear, you intentionally expose yourself to it and flood yourself with anxiety. You don't fight the anxiety or try to control it. You just surrender to it. Eventually, the anxiety burns itself out, and you're cured.